Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour of Paul Sturgis, head of the Church Congregation, on Sunday the 12th hour. This is August 24th, 2025. It is the second day of Elul, 2029. We will start our first service today. I rest one timely greeting by V.T. Holler, number 27. The main name of our sermon today is A Rod That Speaks, Calls for the Reformation, and Creates Great Controversy. Our opening prayer song is taken from the Mount of Blessing, page 184, for the last paragraph, not until you feel that you could sacrifice your own self-dignity and even lay down your life in order for the saving of an erring brother, have you cast a beam out of your own eye, so that you are prepared for the helping of your brother, then you can approach him and touch his heart, for no one has ever been reclaimed from a wrong position by the censure and reproach that many have thus been driven from Yeshua and led to seal their hearts against the conviction. A tender spirit, a gentle winning deportment may save the erring and hide a multitude of sin. For the revelation of Yeshua and your own character will have a transforming power upon all with whom you come in contact, that the Yeshua be daily made manifest in you, and he will reveal to you the creative energy of his word. A gentle, persuasive, yet mighty influence to recreate other souls in the beauty of Yahshua, our Savior, Son of Yahweh. According unto the inspiration's eyesight, none of us is qualified to find fault with anyone. Did you know what we read? That only when we come to the point that we are willing to lay down our lives for an erring brother shall we be fitted and able to help others to correct their faults. In the light of this, what is our need, brother, sister? Should we not pray for an experience that the Yahshua be manifested in us? Pray for an experience that will prepare us to help others instead of hindering them. Pray to have a gentle, persuasive, a mighty truth influence on them, then shall we be able to wisely approach the erring one, touch their hearts, and show them their faults. Only then will they listen unto us, but certainly not until then. end of our prayer talk. Now we'll go and have our prayer, and then we'll go right on into our study. A God that speaks calls for the Reformation and creates a great controversy. Okay, we're going to now say this is a text of address, February 8, 1947. Micah 6:1-2. Hear ye now what the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, at the Yahshua's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Yahshua hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with the Israel. First to be noted is the fact that the messenger of the Yahshua is instructed to contend before the mountain, and that the hills are to hear his voice. Obviously, then, in this scripture, as elsewhere in the Bible, mountains and hills must be figurative of the kingdoms and governments. He is to contend before the mountain, not against them. That is, he is to proclaim that the Yahshua has a controversy with his people, that he is asking for a thorough reformation among them, and that they are not willing and cooperating, for it was seen in the previous study that the prophecies of the Micah 4 and 5 are to be fulfilled in the latter days. In our time, in a time that the inspiration by the revelation of these prophecies calls for a reformation among the Yahweh's people. For the prophecies now being unsealed for the first time since they were written, and the reformation already on foot, for the fact that instead of the gladly accepting the freshly revealed message, they are creating a controversy throughout the Adventist churches all over the world. Very obviously indicates that now is the time for the contending before the mountain. Now is the time for them, as a mountain, to hear the Yahshua's controversy with his people. For the words, arise, contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice, imply that heretofore his voice has been heard only locally, but that now he must beat the situation. Even though the mountains, hills, and the strong foundations of the earth hear that the Yahshua is having a controversy with his people, until now, they have been merely trifling with the Yahshua's adversary. But now we must get down to business. The God is who hears it, for his people must now forever turn from the man's sin, whatever they be, and confine their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the new and living way, and hope in the best safety, Yahshua. Regardless to whom he says it true, or else they lose out. As the followers of the Yahshua, we should hearken unto his heart-rending plea for the revival and reformation. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it, a great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human thing as we wanting to know why they are against him. Micah 6:4. For I brought thee up out of the land of the Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. For Yahweh is speaking unto us who are the descendants of the prophets, of the apostles, and of the disciples, who through the years of the servitude among the Gentile nations have lost our national identity, though we may not call ourselves Israelites, Jacobites, or Jews. Yahweh does call us that, for the Yahweh's faithful few throughout the ages were willing and even glad for the sake of the truth and righteousness to face the reproach of their blind and unfaithful brethren. Ought we not to be just as glad for the doing as much, for they won the race and the crown, and there is no reason why we should not instead. We cannot afford for the losing of our reward at this late hour. Micah 6:5. O my people, remember now what the Balak, king of the Moab, consulted, and what the Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from the Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yahshua. Here we are told that for the knowing of the righteousness of the Yahshua is to remember Yahweh's dealings with our forefathers. For his love toward us is not less than it was toward them, for he reminds us of the incident when the Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, and how he caused Balaam to speak for him and to bless his people, that for their sake he brought the king's aim to naught, and caused Balaam to proclaim unto Balak, "And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. For there shall come a star out of Jacob." Now this is out of the 12 tribes of Israel, the spiritual Israel today, the 144,000. "And a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Okay. A scepter is a shepherd's rod, and it means authority for Yahweh's government. And somebody's going to emerge teaching the true interpretation of how to interpret this scepter in the new and living way. Hebrews 10. "Shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of them. And Edom shall be a possession." Okay, now Edom is the capital of Esau's Edomite kingdom, which today is a symbol of the Adventist church, "and shall be a possession." So now who's going to possess the Seventh-day Adventist church today? The house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. And indeed has already taken possession of the Adventist church. We are indeed in charge of it right now. The Jesuits that have infiltrated the General Conference, the Jesuits that run the General Conference are nothing but Catholics. They're the ones that are in charge of the Adventist church right now, all right enough. But by virtue of Yahshua coming in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, as the third feeding pastor for the Adventist, and visiting the angel of the seventh candlestick, let us see, Brother Johnson, and took the reins out of his hands and put the reins in my hands, Elijah David, then that constitutes what I just read. "And destroy all the children of Sheth and Edom," the Seventh-day Adventist church, past tense, "shall be a possession." And you can read about that in Obadiah 21. There's only one verse, one chapter to Obadiah. "And so Edom shall be a possession to who? To the Judah, the house of David. The same thing as the house of Jacob. Because Edom represents Esau, the oldest spiritual twin brother of Jacob in these last days, that inherited the birthright to get a double portion of his father's kingdom when his father died. Okay, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly." Numbers 24, 14, 17, and 18. And when it says, "And Israel shall do valiantly," it means the 12 tribes, the 144,000. That's the Israel that's going to do valiantly in these last days, that comes the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church. And they're the only ones indeed that can do valiantly, because they are empowered with the Pentecostal Holy Spirit power, and they can only succeed. In effect, Balaam said unto the king of the Moab, "I have tried my best to obtain your favor and to curse Israel, but Yahweh has prevailed." Israel has won. You and I have lost, and so let me tell you what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. He that is to rule Israel shall smite Moab. Okay. The one that's going to rule Israel in his last days, and that's kind of typical David. He has also the title of Elijah. Malachi 4:5 has come before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, Yahshua. So he that rules Israel, the one that rules Israel now at this time, and this is going to be the house of David, the lawgiver, tribe of Judah, they're the one that's ruling Israel, and Israel includes also the 10 tribes of Ephraim. So go with the 2 tribes of Judah. And so whoever rules the whole 12 tribes, which is antithetical to David, that's in prophecy. There's nothing else he can do. That's in prophecy. He's also going to smite Moab. He's going to smite Moab, which is your Muslims, which is your half-brother to Isaac, Ishmael, after the fish. And no wonder that Yahweh, the Jews over there, Gentile Jews now. These Gentiles are Israelites indeed. So now you understand better why it says Gentiles are going to drive out Gentiles. But what you're looking at is Israelites. The true Israelites has the power to go in and draw out those false Israelites that says they are Israel, but they're not. And that's those Gentiles that's possession of the land of Israel today. They're now losing out every day because they've been destroyed. Okay. And further, let me tell you what these people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. He that is to rule Israel shall smite Moab on all sides, and Israel shall do valiantly. Thus was the Balaam and Peor for the prediction of Yahshua's birth and of his ruling and causing Israel to do valiantly against their half-brother, the Muslim Moab, and his neighboring people in the latter days. For the knowing that the love of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, our righteousness. So Yahshua, by virtue of his righteousness, becomes the righteousness of the saints. And that's first and foremost 144,000 that comes out of the Adventist church, empowering them with the Pentecostal power to go forth conquering and to conquer without any resistance. There won't be any resistance to this army that's filled with the Pentecostal power. There just won't be none at all. That if he is for us, then no one can win against anything against us. That the battle is the Yahshua's, and that we have no need to fear our enemies. That whatever we do shall prosper, regardless who is for or against us. Micah 6:6-7. Wherewith shall I come before the Yahshua? and thou myself before the highest Yahweh. Shall I come before him with the burnt offerings, with the tithes of a year old? Will the Yahshua be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with the 10,000 of the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, for the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? From these verses, it is apparent that the unfoldment of the scriptures brings a revival and reformation among the Yahweh's people such as the world has never seen. Those who receive the present truth and its fulfillment on a daily basis, Matthew 24:42-47, humbly confess that they are the sinners and that they wish to know the worst of their case, they gladly sacrifice anything and everything unto them. No sacrifice is too great that would bring them closer unto thee, Yeshua, son of Yahweh. As soon as their pride of the opinion leaves them, as soon as they humble themselves, as they humbly inquire, let's say that again, as soon as their pride of the opinion leaves them, and as soon as they humbly inquire how to come and bow before the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, just that soon the answer comes unto them, Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O righteous man, what is good, and what does the Yahshua require of thee? Only to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Savior Yahshua is the greatest gift one can bring unto the Yahweh the Father. In order for the learning how to do justly, how to love mercy, there's that word mercy, and how to walk humbly, we are emphatically told, Micah 6:9, where the Yahshua's voice cries unto the city, and the man of their wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. Okay, Micah 6:9, the Yahshua's voice cries unto the city, the house of Israel, the spiritual house of Israel today, and that would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church. and the man of their wisdom. Okay, whoever the man of wisdom is present at that time shall see thy name. And what is his name? The son of Yahweh, his name is Yahshua, and the father is Yahweh. Hear ye the rod, and who has appointed it? So Yahweh the Father, no doubt, appointed the rod. He's telling everybody to hear the rod, and hear the one who had appointed. Let's read that again, Micah 6:9. For the Yahweh, or Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's voice, cries unto the house of Israel, the spiritual house, Seventh-day Adventist, and the man of the wisdom, and the man with the wisdom. Or you might say, and the man who hath the wisdom shall see thy name. Shall see it. He's going to see it. He's not going to just hear it. He's going to see it. And then he's going to say, and so therefore hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed the, and who hath appointed the rod? Okay, for the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is with the declaring that his voice is crying unto the Seventh-day Adventist church at the Gilead Center in 2002, to the angel of the Seventh Candlestick, led to see the Adventist church, Brother David Johnson in charge of that candlestick, with the voice of inspiration for the interpreting of the present tense prophecies as they are unfolding. He had that privilege. He had that. All he had to do was warn it, pray for it, and do the right thing, and it would be given unto him. So let's say again, for the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, declares that his voice is crying unto the spiritual Israel today, the SDA Church, and that the man, or that the men, M-E-N, plural, more than one, that the men of wisdom shall see the name, and shall hear the rod, and him who has appointed it. So who is the man then at this time that has wisdom? There's only one group of people at this prophecy that has the wisdom, and that's 144,000. Because it says men. Men are plural. I had read that as one man before. But I see where I made a mistake. Okay, manifestly this rod that speaks is with the capability of the speaking and of the being heard at the same time. Thus, the command, hear ye the rod, so far as we know, is as the only rod that it has ever spoken and that is the shepherd's rod. As though Richie Oliver he was a voice that spoke it, a literal voice. Moreover, it was not the result of any studious searching of the sacred scriptures, the Bible, that the book was so named. For the author was not familiar with this scripture, nor did he have any understanding of the book of the Micah at the time that this title, Shepherd's Rod, was given unto the book. I, for one, Vicki Holler for stating here, cannot overlook or neglect or reject the Yahshua's counsel in this matter. For I must hear the rod and him who has appointed it if I expect to have a home in his kingdom. So Vicki Holler is this man of wisdom, because he, when the rod spoke, he heard it. And he did not, he picked it up and he ran with this message for 25 solid years, and then he died. For I cannot afford to do otherwise, Vicki Holler is saying here. For the Yahweh helping me, that's it. For I cannot afford to do otherwise, with the Yahweh the Father helping me, for he himself is with the declaring that if I would know how to come before him, what offering is acceptable unto him, how to do justly, how to love mercy, is that mercy again has given me today, and how to walk humbly before him, I must hear the rod that cries unto the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, it is for all of us individually to decide whether we should hear the voice of the man or the voice of the Yahweh's rod. Okay, so Vicki Holler saying now, I'm the man of wisdom, and I've accepted the rod as I received it. And my voice is not the voice of an uninspired man. My voice is the voice of inspiration now. So when I speak and interpret the rod, it's with inspiration. This is now everyone's test, and it must be everyone's concern for one of these two voices, the voice of men or the voice of the Yahweh's rod, will determine everyone's destiny, either for the eternal death or for the eternal life. Since the message announces that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, is at hand, and that the judgment for the living is about to begin, and since the Isaiah, the prophet, is given a vision of the Yahshua's moving into his temple, Isaiah 6, for this judicial work, the prophet's experiences while he was yet in vision must therefore represent the experience of the Yahweh's servants who are for the announcing of the day of the Yahshua. For his experience and commission must be our experience and commission. Also I heard the voice of the Yahshua saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, who am I sending you? And he said, go and tell his people. Do ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Yahweh, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without an inhabitant, and the houses without a man, and the land shall be utterly desolate. And the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, will have removed men by then far away, and there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, as is 6:5-10. Sanctify the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, of the host, himself. Sanctify him himself, and let him be your fear. And let him be your dead, and he shall be for a sanctuary, ready for a stone of the stomach, and for a rock of the offense, and to those the houses of the business, for a gin, and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Judah, the two tribes in Benjamin, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Isaiah 8:13-15. Micah 6:10-11. Are there yet the sons the treasures of the wickedness and the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is as the abomination of I say again. Micah 6:10-11. Are there yet the treasures of the wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of the deceitful weights? Here is definitely implied that the abominable things, treasures gained by the scanty measures, are yet in the house of the wicked. For the aim of the dishonesty getting rich quick at the cost of another's threat is here condemned. All these abominations prompted by the selfishness must be put away by all who want to survive the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. For the Yahshua, latter question, shall I count them pure with their wicked balances, and with the bag of the deceitful ways, denotes that some are still hanging unto their deceitful ways, and mistakenly expect to be counted among the pure. for there are two types of the seed. That seed number one is the person who outright steals. So seed number two is the person who in a deal manages to get a little more than what is really his own. For he cares not if in the deal that the other fellow makes little or nothing. All he cares about is that he himself fares well. This sort of thievery is the worst because it is practiced even by the so-called best of the Christians, like a 6-12. For the rich men, therefore, are full of the violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful, and their mouth. For the acts of the violence, lying and stealing, because the inspiration are among Yahweh's people. Micah 6:13. Therefore, also will I make thee sick in the smiting thee, and the making thee desolate because of thy sin. For the time has come, brother, sister, to forget self and to be honest with all men for the realizing that self is, as it were, the body of a dead man tied unto one's back there to sap one's strength and to put him sick in bed. Unto such greedy, selfish folk, the Yahshua declares, Micah 6:14-15, thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up unto the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olive, but thou shalt not anoint thee with the oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. Micah 6:16. For the statutes of the Omri are kept, and all the work of the house of the Ahab, and ye walk in their counsel, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people rather than walk in the counsel of the Yahweh's rod. The wicked walk in the counsel of the wicked, and how wicked are their counselors. Inspiration declares that they are as wicked as were those of the house of the house Omri and Ahab. read 1 Kings 16:25, 26, 29, 30, and 33. Consequently, their fate will be the fate of the house of Ahab. Read 2 Kings 10:10 and 11. Surely, Micah 6 leaves no doubt whatsoever that the time is fully come for the Yahweh's people to get down unto the business as never before, for the message with which we have been entrusted, inspiration commands, should be scattered as the leaves of autumn. Testimony, volume 9, 231. And here are the leaves. Alright. Let's bring the end of number 27. And this brings also the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and number 11. Click on the audio archives and more to hear this. We're going to close now with a song.